Hello and welcome to Boomeranging, from expat to repat, a podcast that explores the question, what could be so hard about returning home after years living overseas? I'm your host, Margot Anderson, and in each episode, I will sit down with a former Aussie expat to discuss how they survived repatriation and reverse culture shock, how they navigated the logistics of careers, friends, and family to successfully find their new place at home, and all without losing their global spirit. If you have just returned home, are thinking about it, or just love a good yarn told by professional globetrotters, then I have no doubt you'll enjoy meeting this diverse group of Australians. When Damien came to the end of a three-year secondment working on the Commonwealth Bank's Capability Transfer Program with Vietnam International Bank, he was keen to give back to the organisation who had given him and his family a life-changing experience. Not only had Damien had a career-defining chapter, but his kids had their eyes open to life beyond Australian shores. Weekends were spent with all four piling onto their little motorbike, heading down the main street to do their shopping, and trampolining with other expat and local kids where it resembled a bouncy meeting of the United Nations. But when Damien neared the end of his secondment, his passion to show gratitude was rattled. Instead of being welcomed back, he was offered a redundancy or time to look for a new job in the bank, which was most likely not going to emerge from Perth, his home city. He eventually found a role which saw him and his family return to Sydney, Australia, but the experience was far from what he had expected and left many questions. Now that Damien has been back for 4 years and moved into a new role with a new company in Melbourne, I'm keen to explore his reflections on the whole experience. So welcome, Damien.
Thank you, Margot. Great to be here.
Yeah, lovely to have you. Where are we chatting with you today? I know you do travel quite a bit, so I'm wondering if you are in fact in Melbourne.
I am in Melbourne because it's sunshine. No, hang on a minute. It's raining. No, it's windy. It's sunshine again. So I'm in Melbourne.
Excellent. Damien, before we dive into your story, I'm actually keen if you could share a little bit about your background and what you were doing before heading away.
I was fortunate enough to be in the banking career for many of a year. Started actually off in Adelaide in South Australia and progressed across to Perth, ultimately being there with Commonwealth Bank of Australia. Great location, great role, and started a family in Perth too. So I cannot complain about Perth.
You were always destined to head overseas, or was that something that just simply emerged out of the blue? Like, how did that come onto the radar?
When I lived in Perth, going overseas was Rottnest Island. That's as far as we went. But I then looked at my family background where we moved a little bit intrastate, not necessarily interstate, but intrastate. So through my father's role, he got to have to move around a little bit from country town to suburb, et cetera. So maybe underlying that was the willingness and openness to see, you can move around and life goes on. So, but I wouldn't have positioned myself at a point in time to say, going overseas was a priority of mine.
And so where did the opportunity emerge for Vietnam?
Working for the large organisation, I guess you get the chance to ask for, opportunities. For myself, you got to go back a step and say, okay, you've got to be reasonable at your role or just demonstrate the values, the right behaviours to, put your name forward. But I guess in my career, looking at where I wanted to go next, Sydney and Melbourne, lovely places, but, I thought maybe somewhere else. So through some, open leadership that allowed me to talk to people that probably didn't know me in a large organisation, Commonwealth Bank being Sydney head office bound and I'm from Perth, I was lucky to meet a leader that gave me time, gave me a voice to talk and connected me with others that then allowed a bit of a conversation to immerse about, opportunities overseas.
And I know in some of our conversations off air, you shared that you weren't really looking for a move to a big city. In fact, you said you didn't really see yourself as a big city person, but then you find yourself landing in Ho Chi Minh.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm really interested about how you and your family adapted to life there.
If you were to say, what's the population size of Adelaide, and then move to Perth and say, what the population size of that, you can see I've got a track record of not wanting to be in large areas and then an opportunity to be in a city, let alone a country, a city that's got 8 to 10 million in a fairly confined space was in itself questioning and scratching the head, let alone saying to a family of two kids at the age of, 6 and 4, 7 and 4, that let's venture on to, Vietnam and Ho Chi Minh City. So at the end of that conversation, I'm very lucky to have a family say, you know, let's do that. Maybe because of the age of the children too, but to have immersed, you know, into that culture, into that lifestyle fairly easily made the transition from a work perspective easy too.
So what did life look like for you? Because it's a very different lifestyle.
Yeah, a very different lifestyle. I know when I went for my first interview, it was actually in Hanoi, stayed in a hotel, and I went for a walk around the block because I didn't want to cross the road, because those that understand, crossing the road is a challenge, and I didn't for my first venture. But since then, yes, as per a little bit of your kind opening, the four of us on the one little Honda 125cc, you know, heading down the street to do the shopping, certainly immersed yourself into a lot of things. But the culture itself was very kind, so that makes it easier to immerse work or personal into that. And whilst you do immerse yourself a little bit into that expat community, you don't go and, you know, live right out in areas that probably expats aren't living. Vietnam didn't have a true expat area where you only met expats. You know, you're amongst the community and the culture, which was a great experience in itself. So for the family to adopt, rest assured we could still find Vegemite, you know, dairy milk chocolate amongst those parts, but to start to, you know, experience, you know, the real food. But you still had some of those Western world comforts from, you know, that obviously we brought with us, or, you know, were able to live in a manner that still allowed us to, you know, immerse ourselves into our own kind of well-being away from the traffic of the day.
What was the purpose of the role, or what was, because it was a secondment, so you were always going for a defined period of time. What was the objective for you?
Yeah, it was 2 years, immersed itself into three along the way. But the organisation I worked for, Commonwealth Bank, had a shareholding in a local bank called Vietnam International Bank, a wonderful business in itself. And my role, amongst others that had the fortunate opportunity to do this, was to not only bring capability to those in that local bank to give some, you know, learnings and some coaching, some guidance, some best practices possibly, but in return to allow us individuals that went across there to also build our, I guess, strength as leaders, our strengths from a resilience point of view of being in different environments, not having that safety blanket around you in terms of knowing the systems, knowing the process, knowing the community. So it went both ways. And that's why I probably took the role, was, you know, I saw it as a win-win for the organization I worked for there, the organization I was employed by, Commonwealth Bank, and myself and family.
So given that it did have such a defined sort of parameter around it or timeline around it, I'm interested how repatriation was positioned, and was it positioned at the start, or was it something that sort of came up at the end? How was that put on the table?
I was reflecting, Margot, as you said, we had a bit of a chat before today, and you actually propositioned that quite well, and it actually made me realise the gap in my whole journey was repatriation wasn't talked about day one from the employee perspective. I knew, my family knew what we wanted to achieve and come back to. You know, we kept the family home, we, you know, kept all the family assets intact, and everything was there. And wrong of me maybe to assume that path was going to be easily taken to come back. Our eyes were open to say maybe it wasn't going to be Perth. It could have been Melbourne, but it was met with ease. The thought process was easy, but it made me think in our conversation before today and now sharing is that was the flaw in the journey. And then talking to other colleagues, I think that's a common flaw. Repatriation is not talked day one, even though I started to think about it later in my journey, but maybe that was a bit too late even.
Yeah, I think sometimes it really is a case of, oh, look, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. My advice to people is, if you're going with an organisation, is it's a bit like a prenup. You want to put it on the table right at the start, you know. And as a benefit for both of you, for both the organisation and the employee, and, you know, like anything in life, we don't always know what the parameters and constraints will be when we get to that point. But if the conversation has been held at the front, there's at least a shared expectation that you can come back to. Which is, you know, until you've lived it once, it's often, you know, it can be a hard learning sometimes for both sides.
Our journey was a little complicated by, and this will happen to many, is that you go for a defined period and then that gets extended for another, in our case, 12 months. But that threw, you know, things out again in terms of, oh, you know, a slightly different role, another year opportunity. What does life bring? So that threw us a little bit. But yeah, I agree with you, Margo. Dare I say it, prenup, not that we're looking for divorce at any stage.
Were you surprised when you were offered a redundancy? I mean, did you anticipate that at all?
Certainly didn't go over for a journey to receive a check, you know, at the end of the day. And if I reflected, Margo, I don't remember a lot of things in life, but there's certain instances in life I remember. And I can tell you the day and the chair I was sitting in, the office I was in, it's weird how you remember certain things that aren't quite things that you want to remember. So, I was taken back.
You were offered the redundancy whilst you're in Vietnam, correct?
Yes.
And so you were offered the opportunity to explore new opportunities in the bank back in Australia, but it took you a while, I guess, to negotiate that, to find that. And you commented that it made your family feel nervous about the return. Can you talk to why that was?
Yeah, I think because we went there with a commitment and wanted to return that, I guess, support to an organisation that gave us that, and you know, we just had a belief to return that capability. But, you know, when you start to say, you know, not only we may not be returning to Perth, but not returning to a financial acceptable position, even though I might have check in hand, it's unsettling because the children are a little older. They are returning to Australia with family and friends, and in itself, just that whole persona of I've returned and have. Maybe have I failed? So, you know, it was hard as a family to accept.
And it's hard, isn't it? Because it also then depends on how international experience is regarded by the bank or by others within in the leadership team. And I think for many, they see sometimes overseas experience as a bit of a junket if it's a 1, 2, 3 year sort of framework. Why do you think that is?
It's something I heard of before going over even. And going, oh, okay, I'm certainly not moving the family or myself for that kind of experience. And when you're over there, you know, life it's totally different. Wherever you are, different in different countries. And, you know, you got to, you know, have to say, well, you know, my driver didn't turn up on the day. And that's, you know, sounds like, well, you've got a driver. Well, in certain places and countries, you need one. You know, just the well-being and safety of getting around. So those everyday life things start to sound like a luxury, even though they weren't. And my role was going from Hanoi to Ho Chi Minh, from Mekong River to Da Nang. You know, the role took me everywhere, and just getting from airport to airport was a challenge because it's a new culture, it's a new experience. But there was work to be done. That's what was missed out of the word of junket is people that go overseas really work equally as hard.
Yeah. All those nuances, though, are just so incredibly important, aren't they, in terms of our ability to problem solve and to think differently and laterally. And I think they're all the things that we value ourselves from some of those experiences. So it's like, how do we bring those forward in the next opportunity that we have? When did you realise that potentially a longer-term career in the bank wasn't on the cards and that you needed to probably start to look externally?
I started looking probably too late. I started to realise once that letter and redundancy or just conversations come in going, oh, hang on a minute, I'm about to return. I've got nothing and all I've got is a redundancy opportunity. So, yeah, it was a little late in the piece because maybe my loyalty and my belief in those around me was still, you know, stronger than ever. So I probably started a little late in the context of not reading the tea leaves well enough, maybe.
And so you were in Sydney, I understand, for about 9 months before securing the role that you're in today and making the move to Melbourne. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you're doing now and who you're working for?
As soon as I got to Sydney, the next day I get a phone call on a job that I was looking at back in Perth saying, we're interested to talk to you now, but that was getting too late. That time in Sydney, again, can I just say a great leader that finally took me on and gave me a role and opportunity, and I respect that individual that, you know, saw past things and was able to courageously, you know, take that on. And I feel, you know, unfortunate that I had to look that person in the eye 9 months later and say, it's not for me. But the role and opportunity that presented myself gave me that usage of capability that ultimately from my previous roles in Perth through to Vietnam was a perfect match, merging two kind of skills that I've learned over time into one role. And now I find myself at an entity called Futurity Investment Group, which is distributing a financial product still. So I'm still in finance, but it's a savings and investment offering for saving for a future cost of education. But it's still got a finance dynamic to it. It's got a transformation nature to it from what we arrived to what we've achieved. So a whole lot of diverse happenings over the last 3 years, which, you know, has allowed me to use the Vietnamese experience, my Australian experience, into one fantastic role.
And so you mentioned that they sought you out because of your overseas experience. This is really not always the case for many expats. So can you tell us a little bit more about what it was that they liked about your experience in Vietnam and Asia?
I got to the interview skill set after going through a few internal interviews with the organization I was working for. Was I just started to, you know, interview with the functionality, the roles I did, and kind of took away that I was in Vietnam, tried to just really, one, focus on what I'd achieved, and then brought in the overseas experience to say I did this in Vietnam, or I did this for others, could be in other countries, to say that that's not easy either, because you've got to fight new ways. You've got to look for different ways of what the answers aren't just in front of you. So I matched, I guess, the skill set I learned and then the culture and environment that I learned it in, and was able to demonstrate. And I'd encourage people to be proud of this, that you've done it overseas, and it is different. And how you pitch for an interview can possibly make you stand out. To your point, Margo, it doesn't always work, and it didn't always work for me. But when you do find that opportunity, which you've got to keep digging for, presents itself, and it presented itself so well that it was a no-brainer to take the opportunity. But the path to get to that interview, Margo, wasn't just a click of the fingers.
Oh, it's extraordinary, isn't it? Like, the challenge that many people face is actually the time that it takes. In many ways, it's natural that the more senior you become in your career, the longer those transitions take. But I think when you overlay that with some time internationally, it can be pretty tricky. But I think your point around leading with the experience first, not where you got it, but the experience itself and the deliverables or the outcomes and the achievements, and then weaving it in that it happened to be overseas rather than leading with it being international up front, I think that's really sound advice. How do you leverage your Asian experience or international experience now?
Yeah, and I do, and it's certainly not riding motorbikes. But I do have a banh mi once a week, so certainly from a food dietary perspective, I remain immersed.
You pay double.
I think it's triple, and it's not made on the side of a road with the motorbike fumes either. But I think it's just culturally. You know, when you work overseas, you're not just working in a country, you're working with people from various regions, locations, culture, you know, beliefs, and, you know, you start to really immerse yourself in understanding how the world ticks and how people can tick. And I went from being a majority, I guess, Australian, working in Australian, to a minority of not being Vietnamese but working in Vietnam, and day one not knowing the language. You got to respect that, you know, how people that come into a culture that might be a minority, how they feel. So I always look for what reading signs of how people may feel that they're a minority and a majority, and how do you make it equal in that path. I'm not perfect at that, but I'm certainly aware that I was, for a period, I guess, a minority of a person, and I needed to those around me. And again, those people around me maybe have brought me into their lives as well. So from a work perspective, it's just recognizing that the whole culture, the whole world is dynamic. It all works together. I remember living over there, we had a trampoline. We're lucky to have one that fitted in our 3x3 backyard. And kids from all Dutch kids, South Korean, Vietnamese, obviously, New Zealand, you know, Australian, you know, had the League of Nations jumping on the trampoline, and they were having fun. They were smiling.
Oh, look, awareness and empathy is just, you know, from that lived experience, is so valuable. And it definitely helps us connect the dots and to build pathways. And if we can also, you know, show that in what we do in our everyday, I think it's a great learning and insight to bring. You've mentioned that your experience overseas works not just for you, but also for your family. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I touched upon a little bit there with the trampoline with the kids. You know, I'm proud of my children for, I believe, who they are today. I'm not saying that they're perfect, but some of their school reports show that. But I believe that they, you know, carry forward an awareness again. Sorry, I used the word before, but culture. They're aware of, you know, people, you know, from different parts of the world. You can still communicate and can still play together. So, you know, for them to have taken it on and then come back and still be aware of that, and, you know, from a partner's perspective, to give a lot up, you know, walk away from family and friends to no one, and then come back and still probably have more friends than I have from the OVC experience. As many will say, I've only got about three friends anyhow, but certainly working back and staying connected to, you know, I guess more the expat community than the community, but friendship and able to share stories and support each other on return. So, you know, the family was arguing with me in a way, what are we doing? Where are we going? Day one. And then the last day, why are we leaving? Can't we stay?
That's the sign of a great experience though, isn't it? Yeah, lovely. And so what advice would you give to people who are planning to come home with their employer? I mean, we have a lot of people in the community that do that. What questions should they be asking and when should they be preparing?
Brings us back, Margot, to that earlier statement you made about, you know, getting that prenup done early is number one. Whether it's 3 years, 7 years, you know, you're not sure when it's going to turn. I mean, you know, through that journey, I was fortunate enough in one way to return just before COVID, because obviously the world changed for a while there. But you've got to be ready for, you know, that return path. And if you've got a structure ready, it's a better experience. You know, that said, plan to be resilient still in your own family. Of employer, employee, you've got to get ready for, you know, some tough moments and to see through that in your own organisation. You've got to be ready for that. I would also say, even though I pitched myself for that external role, you've got to pitch yourself in terms of experience in your own organisation before where you did it. But finally, be prepared to step away. You know, I wasn't prepared to step away first up, but, you know, start asking questions. But when preparing, be prepared to step away.
Yeah, no, all amazing advice. I think especially that piece around, you know, needing to reposition yourself internally. I think I've said it before, people will always remember you for where you were before their last encounter with you or before you left, not necessarily the growth that you've had. So there's automatically a different level of education to bring. But then there's a lot of people who didn't know you at all. And so having to position yourself like a new job to those stakeholders is absolutely critical. And yeah, I think that whole preparedness to know what's really important for you and your family in terms of decision making, and is this a good opportunity or the right opportunity for us? It's hard to sort of reconcile the tenure sometimes or the loyalty factor, but I think like any good conversation, if they're had with the right framework, you keep the relationships intact when you go anyway. So I think that knowing yourself and knowing what's important is absolutely critical. So if you had to do it again, I mean, obviously there'd be a bit more planning, but is there any particular thing that you'd do differently about the whole experience?
Look, you can always, you know, the old hindsight factor. One, I'd do it again, yes, of course, and so would the family. But I guess you've just got to take that approach. I always say, you know, when you're sitting in a car, that windscreen in front of you is very big and the rear vision mirror is very small. There's a reason. You want to look forward to the bigger and better things and keep looking behind. So I would just say, yes, I'd do it again. And you might make one or two mistakes along the way, but that's life and that's the journey. So, yeah, I certainly wouldn't tinker with anything, because otherwise it wouldn't have been the experience it was. Only soured by many people's return, so it's not a, you know, it's not a solution that's found easily. Is that return is tough, no matter what you change or what you do. If you did it again,
we change, don't we?
Yes,
we change fundamentally. That's part of the challenge. So, and I think many times we don't realise just how much we've changed until we've landed back. So there's a bit of reconciling to do there too. Now, Damien, we like to close all of our chats with five quick questions. So I'm going to put those to you now. Living overseas taught me what about myself?
Big cities ain't that bad.
There you go.
living in 10 million population city allowed me to comfortably live in Sydney and Melbourne at the end of it all.
The number one skill I use today in my career is?
Cultural leadership.
Ah, lovely. Yeah. The best thing I've discovered since arriving home is?
I'm lucky.
Yeah. I think we just have no idea how lucky we are, do we? So it's incredible. The first thing I'd encourage a new repat to do is?
Network outside your network. And that's not promoting InSync, Margot. Okay. I'm not being paid here today, but I would say yes, certainly step away from the current network. As you said, Margot, you change as a person and maybe your network is changing.
Yeah, excellent. And a word, song or quote that best describes your time overseas is?
Luckily enough, I'm not going to sing because you might not get any listeners if I chose a song, but apt because I went to Vietnam, but all great changes are preceded by chaos.
Interesting.
I went through a great change and went to Vietnam and it was chaos on the road because there was everywhere. There was people everywhere. Change coming back was chaos. But they're great changes. That was by Deepak Chopra. Some will know he's an author and whatnot, but that's one thing I reflected on ages ago.
Yeah, wonderful. Oh, thanks, Damien. I've so enjoyed our chat and I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Margot. It was great.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review, share it with your friends and family, and subscribe for future episodes. For more information on our guests, please head to our website, insyncnetworkgroup.com, where you can check out the show notes and also find more information about our career advisory programs and fabulous community.